A bypassed sniper had seen us behind the rock and shot him. The bullet hit him in the left arm, which was pressed tightly against my right arm as we sought cover from the machine gun out front. The Nambu was firing a bit high, but there was no doubt the sniper had his sights right on us. We were between a rock and a hard place. I dragged him around the rock out of sight of the sniper as the Nambu bullets whizzed overhead. I yelled, "Corman!" And Ken Doc Caswell, the mortar section corpsman, crawled over, opening his pouch to get at his first aid supplies as he came. Habitually and affectionately, Marines call all U.S. Navy corpsmen who serve with them Doc. Another man also came over to see if he could help. While I cut away the bloody dungaree sleeve from the injured arm with my K-bar, Doc began to tend the wound. As he knelt over his patient, the other Marine placed his K-bar under the injured man's pack strap and gave a violent upward jerk to cut away the shoulder pack. The razor-sharp blade sliced through the thick web pack strap as though it were a piece of string, but before the Marine could arrest its upward motion, the knife cut Doc in the face to the bone. Doc recoiled in pain from the impact of the knife thrust. Blood flowed down his face from the nasty gash to the left of his nose. He regained his balance immediately and returned to his work on the smashed arm, as though nothing had happened. The clumsy Marine cursed himself for his blunder, as I asked Doc what I could do to help him. Despite considerable pain, Doc kept at his work. In a quiet, calm voice, he told me to get a battle dressing out of his pouch and press it firmly against his face to stop the bleeding while he finished work on the wounded arm. Such was the selfless dedication of the Navy hospital corpsman who served in Marine infantry units. It was little wonder that we held them in such high esteem. Doc later got his face tended and was back with the mortar section in a matter of a few hours. While I did as Doc directed, I yelled at two Marines coming our way and pointed toward the sniper. They took off quickly toward the beach and hailed a tank. By the time a stretcher team came up and took my wounded friend, the two men trotted by, waved, and one said, "We got the bastard. He ain't gonna shoot nobody else." The Nambu had ceased firing, and an NCO signaled us forward. Before moving out, I looked toward the beach and saw the walking wounded wading back toward Peleliu. After we moved farther inland, we received orders to set up the mortars on the inland side of a Japanese pillbox and prepare to fire on the enemy to our company's front. We asked Company K's gunnery sergeant, Gunnery Sergeant W.R. Saunders, if he knew of any enemy troops in the bunker. It appeared undamaged. He said some of the men had thrown grenades through the ventilators, and he was sure there were no live enemy inside. Snafu and I began to set up our mortar about 5 feet from the bunker. Number one mortar was about 5 yards to our left. Corporal R.V. Bergen was getting the sound-powered phone hooked up to receive fire orders from Sergeant Johnny Marmot, who was observing. I heard something behind me in the pillbox. Japanese were talking in low, excited voices. Metal rattled against an iron grating. I grabbed my carbine and yelled, "Bergen, there are nips in that pillbox!"